7:04 of the time on 104.5 The Zone. This is the Wake Up Zone. Welcome in hour number two. Chilly Thursday morning, game day, Titans, Jags, 7:20 tonight. Titans Radio will have a full coverage starting at 5:30 with the Lee Company countdown to kickoff. Whole crew, you're ready to roll before and after the game. This guy will be there too. From the Nashville Post, David Beauclair, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. Dave, what's up, man?
Not much. I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah.
Get this thing rolling. Have a nice weekend. All the college basketball teams being finals around here, it looks like. And well, actually, Lipscomb's playing Sunday, their first home game in like a month.
Yeah, they play Navy. But yeah, you got your calendar pretty much cleared up for you after this.
Yeah,
you like the Thursday night games in general?
I don't. It's funny. When they started, I really thought I would.
Yeah.
And I find I watch very little of them. I don't need that much more football in my life, apparently. the Sunday-Monday extravaganza covers it for me.
And you don't always have the quality of play. Do you buy the whole theory that the home team has a big advantage in these and that it's, you know, the short week and travel and those things?
No, I believe that the team that gets the early lead has a big advantage.
Right.
I think it's that's just my sense. I haven't looked at that. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I think it's easy for teams to say, "Oh, just not our night," you know, and get on with their life and look forward to next week. And when you look at the Titans schedule, when they go from a Monday night to a Sunday to a Thursday, that's an extreme schedule too. If you're a league and so much lip service has been paid to player safety and health and everything, you give a team a schedule like that. I mean, the Thursday night games in general, but then when you know, in this case where you take a day off, you know, of the preparation and recovery time and everything in a 2 week span like that, you don't give a crap about your player safety as the NFL. You're exposing these guys to all sorts of extra pounding and risk and injury with this sort of thing.
Man, I'm just going to raise my hand now and be a nominee for the commissioner. Reason why, you just gave me a great idea. You know what that idea is? Now that high school football and college football's over, how come they can't move the game to Friday and Saturday now from the Thursday night game? Let's go meet them halfway then. Half of the season, you move the game to Friday and Saturday. Yeah, I'm the commissioner. Thank you.
Because Thursday seat is a lot better TV night.
I don't know.
Because Thursday's a big TV night.
Yeah,
Friday night is just absolutely a dead night for TV. And so Saturday.
Especially it's cold outside. A lot of people inside on Friday.
Yeah, but typically, the other thing is the players are getting, what, like 60% of the money for these Thursday night games.
What if they said, we'll give you 62 and we'll move you on to Friday and Saturdays at halfway through the season?
So
I think they'll go for it, Mark.
They made it financially enticing, I guess, for the players.
You can make it 61%. You know, they'll go for the okey-doke every time.
You know, all that being said, it's a big night for the Titans. You know, we're saying this every week now, but you look at what's coming next week. You think, well, they should beat the Giants. The week after that, you go, Redskins are on their third. By that point, they could be on their fourth quarter.
What Titan team are you talking about? Did you see the Giants?
One game, you know.
A whole bunch of games. The Titans, you don't know which one's showing up.
There's no question. Saquon Barkley scares the bejesus out of you. I think if there any coaching staff out there, there's no question. The Titans need to win out first and foremost to have any chance. And you know, as you look at it, you think, that's not, you know, it's certainly doable, but Jacksonville has to be the most dangerous spoiler I've seen in years. I mean, because these are, you know, they're a talented team. There's no question about that. They've got Leonard Fournette back now, which makes a big difference. Yeah, they've changed quarterbacks, and Cody Kessler doesn't scare you, but Blake Bortles never scared you to begin with. So, I don't think that's a really dramatic change. And I mean, this is a team that if they feel like playing and get it in their minds that they're going to disrupt some people's seasons, they can they can create a lot of problems, and they might come in here with a really nasty attitude tonight and create some real problems.
Well, what scares you is they woke up and beat Indianapolis, shutting out one of the most prolific offenses, one of the hottest offenses in the league, 6-0. That is such a Jaguars score, with a pop gun offense, but a great defense.
And that was without Fournette.
Exactly. So this is a defense. They have a championship defense, any way you look at it. They haven't played like it all the time this year. And what happened to them is a bit of a mystery, starting out 3-1, beating the Patriots, and then losing to the Titans, which, was the first domino in a 7-game losing streak, which, took them out of the playoffs. And now you're right. They're in the role of the spoiler. So a team like Jacksonville coming in loose does scare you.
I think they bought into their own hype a little bit.
No question.
I think when they lost a couple early, they didn't take it seriously enough the way that's a young team. They've got a lot of young stars there. They'll learn from it. But coming off a shutout like you're talking about, Mark, I would think they come in here highly motivated because of that. Say, okay, this is the team we are. We haven't shown it. We're going to show it now for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and teams are going to have to deal with us.
Well, the problem is, though, with the Jags, and, you never, as Blaine, correctly states, every year is different. This was the year they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. They are capped out after this year. They're going to have to make some major changes to their roster. So they really thought this was going to be the year. And there is sort of an organization-wide disappointment with that. Tom Coughlin ripped him on the radio last week. So there's a lot going on with Jacksonville. They lead the league in personal fouls, which tells you all you need to know about the Jags going into this game.
Well, it tells you that they don't have discipline, and that's a reflection of the head coach, your buddy there, Doug Marrone. They got to get those guys in check. I'm interested. What you said there, Bokey, is if they start off slow and the Titans get them down, I wonder if the organization, and I'm talking about the Jags organization, then trying to throw in the flag and start playing backups, because I would be trying to get that first pick. The worse my record is, the more I can move up in the draft. So the way to get back at the Titans, even though you let them win this game, is pick your franchise quarterback in Nashville.
Mark mentioned
how they're going to approach that.
Mark mentioned Tom Coughlin. I find it very hard to believe that Coughlin would issue that
edict, especially against the Titans, right?
Doug, just play whoever the hell you want to play. It doesn't matter if we win. I could never hear Tom Coughlin saying that.
I don't think the conversations go like that, though. That's not how it goes, Bokey. You start off and you're down by 16, 17 points, and you start saying, well, shoot, man, the starters aren't playing very well. How about let's get to see some of these other players? That's how you don't ever throw a game. You try to play backups to get a better visual because they don't have their A game. Our guys are tired from playing on Sunday. They look kind of sloppy out here. Let's play some other guys and see what they got. That's a coach's decision. I don't know if Coughlin can come down there and actually have a game.
That would be a conversation that takes place during the game. I'm saying if that conversation takes place, it was yesterday or maybe this morning or something.
No, I don't think those conversations happen.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it just happens platonically on the field and the coach makes a decision. No different than you make a decision to bench somebody. I think that's how the conversations go. I think you have a mindset, if the game goes this way, this is what we're going to do. Matter of fact, we're going to take Fournette out. We don't want him to get him injured. The game is over. I mean, if you're looking at it that way, you never know, man. Some of these guys, I don't see Coughlin that way, but you just never know what your head coach is thinking at this point in time, because guess what? His job may be on the line, too. Why not see the other guys?
That's true.
David Beauclair, our guest from the Nashville Post this hour, would like to join us. Your thoughts on tonight's matchup, Titans and Jags, 615-737-1045. David is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. They are proud to have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. Time for Mark and Word about USS.
Exactly. United Structural Systems, they go hard all the time. They've been in business since 1994, specializing in foundation repair, concrete leveling, more than 10,000 satisfied customers. And they ask the question, settling sidewalks, slabs, patios, or steps? Have you noticed that your door or porch steps are tilted? Or that your sidewalk or patio is shifted? creating a potentially dangerous situation and trip hazard around your home. You don't want to see the delivery man taking a header because, yeah, you know what that starts. Anyway, with United Structural Systems, they'll make it better than before with polyurethane injection. Less expensive than concrete replacement, no damage to the grass or landscaping. Work completed in a couple of hours, and you can walk on it immediately, drive on it in 30 minutes, and with United Structural Systems, you get quality, reputation, expertise, and integrity. Free estimates. You don't pay until the job is done. And the work they do is environmentally safe, by the way. Call them at 615-227-2275 or online at USSTN.com. United Structural Systems. Zone.
Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone. Coach Vrabel and his team will be on our station tonight, 7:20 kickoff for the Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. A team Blaine Bishop used to run roughshod over during his playing days.
Oh, yeah. Not me, but our team did.
All right, I did some quick research during the break. The scoring first has nothing to do with winning on Thursday night. Before last week when Dallas scored first, the team that scored first had lost five in a row. And seven of the previous 10. The key.
What about the way team?
Well, the key turns out to be leading at halftime.
Oh.
The team that is up at halftime almost always wins these games this season. So it's okay to fall behind tonight. Just get it by halftime.
Just make sure you're ahead at the break.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
So there's my quick bit of research for the morning.
Yeah. All right, do you see the Titans kind of using the offense that we saw in the second half and being able to continue that tonight, you know, especially with the deep ball connections that we saw.
Well, the more interesting thing is the offensive line change. Right. And, you know, with Corey Levin at center and Ben Jones at left guard, I don't think there's any question that that they needed to do something there. You kind of wonder why it took them so long. And you say, well, you know, Jacksonville's front seven is as good as anybody's, so you're nervous about that going into this game. But the one thing the Jets have is a terrific defensive front. And I thought the offense just looked dramatically better after that switch at offensive linemen, particularly in the second half when the coaches actually had time to, you know, get with their groups and probably discuss things a little bit more in depth. So, you know, we'll see if that group can hold up again, because, I mean, that's one thing we've seen when the offensive line has not held up this season, things have looked bad, and they're gonna be tested again tonight. But I think the way they played on Sunday gives you hope to say that, you know, there's reason to think they can be just fine tonight.
How much of that was the play calling? Matt LaFleur obviously sped things up at the end of the first half, and you know, when they played, you know, hurry up, it seemed to get the offense going. And of course, we know what they did in the second half.
Well, you know, but I didn't think the offense was that good. I mean, when you're talking about a team that goes 1-for-11 on third down, yes, through a game, I mean, it's tough to gauge the play calling because you never really got into a rhythm, and they were, you know, there was never a stretch where of two or three drives in a row where you say, okay, the offense is really rolling now. You know, they hit on a couple of big plays. That was good. They, you know, they kind of did what they had to do to win that game. I didn't think that was the offense's best game by any stretch of the
imagination. Well, not their best game, but they did come back.
They came back, and you could sort of feel that coming too when the defense. To me, the key was the defense kept the Jets out of the end zone. The more the Jets had to settle for field goal after field goal, you kept thinking sooner or later the Titans are going to score and they're going to get back in this thing, and then. You know, they got helped by some penalties on the game winning drive. It was, you know, to me, that was just that was just a classic case of just finding a way to win. I don't think it was a particularly good performance all around.
What do you think about Derrick Henry? Because he's got some good games versus the Jags. But 10 carries for 40 yards.
Keep thinking Derrick Henry's going to have him a game somewhere along the line.
I don't know why I believe that.
And it just. I mean, at this point, there's no reason to think that, I keep thinking it.
you're not the only one.
Yeah,
he's done it before against the Jags. So maybe
the Jags is a team. He's kind of laid the wood on them a couple times.
But I mean, this is a guy who hasn't carried more than 12 times since week three. Of course, you know, against Jacksonville, 18 carries, 57 yards. That's his best game of the year. You know, maybe it's that TJ Yeldon's there. Maybe, you know, they're boys. They have a little personal competition going, you know, or Fournette, you know.
Well, he's from the Jacksonville area, isn't he?
I know. He's from the Jacksonville area. There's that. Yeah, I mean, there's whatever it is. But you got to believe it. I mean, there's only four games left, I know, but you think at some point Derrick Henry's going to have himself a big game, but they don't give him a lot of opportunity either. So, I mean, it's clearly Deion Lewis is the number one guy right now, so we'll see. I mean, we've heard all along that if a guy gets a hot hand, they'll ride with him to a certain degree. So maybe if Henry can pop a good run or two to get going tonight. Maybe this is it.
Well, Mark's guy's got the hot hand. That's Anthony Firkser.
Yeah.
He called him out in training camp. He's been on it. He's got an opportunity finally, and he's taking advantage of it. He did really well.
I am fascinated by guys like Firkser who, you know, they get cut. They're long odds to begin with because they're undrafted. They come in, they get cut a couple times. They're on the street for a while. The ability of guys like that to stay in shape and stay focused and be ready because you never know when you're going to get the right fit.
And practice becomes almost an extension of games. Rep by rep, you get judged in a way that guys on the roster don't. And that's really the reason why Firkser made the team or, you know, made the practice squad, because in the preseason initially, if you remember, he dropped a ball, he caught a ball, he fell down. He wasn't that impressive until it seemed like the Vrabel or maybe Matt LaFleur or somebody told him, dude, just relax. Just catch the ball and run. Do what you do best. And he started to do some things.
You know, but this is a guy who was in training camp, offseason in training camp with the Jets in 2017, gets cut at the end of training camp, and then is out of work until the end of November. And Kansas City has some injuries. They sign him to the practice squad. So he had September, October, all of November on his own, doing whatever he was doing, but worked out, stayed in condition enough, did enough with the Chiefs that at the end of the season they signed him to a futures contract, but then they ended up cutting him before OTAs and all that stuff started. The Titans signed him. He was ready. He came in here, had a good off season, good training camp, made the opening day roster. They cut him, and, you know, I mean, but he just sticks with it, and now he's found himself in an opportunity that works for him. I mean, was he the best tight end available on the market? Probably not, but he was one that the Titans knew. He was one the Titans knew they could trust, and here he is getting his opportunities now.
Has anyone talked to him? I think you're onto something that's very fascinating that he stuck with it. And the reason why it's so fascinating, he's a guy that went to Harvard. We can always talk about Harvard.
He has options.
It's not like he didn't graduate and other those natures. He could have done something else. Like, I got cut. I gave him my best shot. I'll move on. He had 3 or 4 months here to make a decision. I'm going to keep at it, or I'm going to go into the professional world, whatever it was that he studied, and moved on. And I'm sure he could have done that. So, I'd love to get to the bottom of how he came to that conclusion to get, you know, continue to pursue, I guess, his dream, and then not to pursue other options that he had.
Applied mathematics was his major. Wow. So apparently he did the math and figured he still had chances.
I don't know. I can't really say in my situation, but man, I tell you one thing, I would have felt like I gave it all I got. And if I got cut initially, I don't know how much I would have stuck with it. Yeah. I really, to be honest, I don't know if I would have. I mean, coming from Ball State, I don't think I would have. I think I would have just kept it moving, to be honest. Easy to say now, though, I guess.
We'll run some more numbers during the break with David Beauclair from the Nashville Post. Presented by the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and have a little fun with Instant Games today. More Wake Up Zone up next on 104.5
Zone.
The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. What do you want to know about the Titans and Jags? 615-737-1045. What's your gut feeling on the game? The Titans keep kind of keep this thoughts of potentially making the playoffs alive, or does it come to a halt tonight with Jacksonville in town trying to spoil things? 615-737-1045. Got David Beauclair with us from the Nashville Post. He is presented, as always, by the Tennessee Lottery.
David, every fan base is different. When we talk about Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt football, Vanderbilt basketball, the Preds, the Titans. Has this team, do you think, captured the fancy of its fan base? Because they made the dramatic change. You know, they made the playoffs. They win a game. They fire the coach. They bring in, a whole new coaching staff. And everybody's supposed to be excited because, this guy, supposedly is going to be a rock star, Mike Vrabel. And it started out that way, maybe, with the good start. But we have seen this team and this coaching staff go through ups and downs. How do you think this fan base feels about this team and this coach?
It's funny you bring this up, because I've actually had this conversation with a few people lately. And it's interesting to me, because 20 years ago, and for a long time, if you talk to people in the Predators organization, they just complained and complained that, why is it that the Titans get so much coverage, and why do people care about the Titans? And, we're a homegrown team. They just, they just showed up here and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, it's actually the way things have worked out really, really well for the Predators, because 20 years ago, people in this town knew football. They cared about football. Titans show up, and in 99 they go to the Super Bowl, and everybody got excited, and they rode that wave for a long time, and the Predators did their thing, and they were the little engine that could and grew, and what has happened Woo-hoo. Now is the Predators have the feeling is sort of like the Predators are the shiny new toy, and the Titans are old news in a way. Like I had a discussion with my veterinarian a week or so ago when we took the dog in, and he was talking to me about the Predators, and he said to me, he goes, if you had told me 5-6 years ago that I'd be sitting down watching a hockey game on a Tuesday night with my daughters, I'd tell you were crazy. He's like, but I just love it now, and it's sort of like, everybody in this town, in this area, grew up with football, and whether you're 20 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old, football sort of feels a little old and stale, I think, to a lot of folks, and hockey is something new, and the Predators' success the last couple of years, the run to the Cup final, the great regular season last year, the fact that it's sold out every night there right now, it sort of captured people's attention in a way that, it's sort of the new thing, the next big thing around here, and the Titans are going to have a really, really hard time overcoming that right now. Now, if they get, you want to say, well, they get to the playoffs and they get rolling, that'll change. But even last year, great comeback against the Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs. You didn't feel that sense of euphoria around town that you felt in 99 and 2000 and 2002 and 2003. It wasn't there. It wasn't the same way that people are excited about the Predators playoff run. I think this is not unique to Nashville. I think this is going on in some other places too. It's sort of 50 years ago, no one would have thought that anything would surpass baseball as the number one sport in this country. But I think that's what happens. Every generation kind of looks for their own thing. And this generation in Nashville right now, if you want to say it's the 20 somethings, whatever, I would think hockey's a bigger deal than football is. And now we've got soccer coming, and 20 years from now, we might be having the same conversation about soccer.
Let's get to the phones for a few. In Mount Julia, Kelton, good morning. You're on the zone. Kelton, are you there?
Kelton!
Going once, going twice.
Nope. Gone.
Kelton fell back to sleep.
Yep, that's what happens. Phil, good morning. You're on the zone. What's up, Phil?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wish that other guy would have woke up. He's probably regretting this now that I'm on here. I love you guys' show. I just want to thank you and tell you that I'm appreciative every morning to be able to hear your voices. What I wanted to comment on is what he was saying about the Predators. I feel the same way. You get in a losing slump as a city, and it's just a depressing spirit. When the Predators started winning and making their run, it's like it just brought the city back to life. And I'll tell you, I'm a bigger NFL fan than hockey. I never sit down and watch it, but when I went and seen it live, it shows you that, man, that sport can bring people together like no other sport. I think it's amazing. And I think that winning is the only thing that's going to cure the Titans situation, because nobody's really been proud to say they're a Titans fan since the McNair days. Well, at least me, I haven't been able to feel that way. So I just want to see what you guys think. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, and the fact it's funny, you wonder about the coaching change too. Like, you talk about, like, Mike Vrabel's a rock star, and there's no question he's comfortable doing some of the non-football things that come with the job, but after, you know, Mike Mularkey wasn't a popular choice, but back-to-back 9-7 seasons got the team to the play, like, people were just starting to think, well, maybe I should support this guy, and then he's gone, and I think that created a little confusion among the fan base too, that you know, we're still dealing with at this point.
We go next to John in Nashville. Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, not bad. I just got a question for you guys. Been hearing a lot of rumors about maybe the Titans, you know, looking at, you know, getting a new stadium and stuff like that. I was trying to see what you guys' input on that is. Most likely the city is going to have to flip a lot of the bill, and we can't even really fill the seats now.
Well, that's not even a rumor. That's like non-existent.
Oh.
I think the Titans and the city have done a pretty good job of keeping up Nissan Stadium, because they understand that if you just leave it alone, it starts looking obsolete. It's built along the same lines as Heinz Field and the stadium in Foxborough, although those stadiums have a little bit more, in terms of shops and stuff like that. But that's not even
on average stadiums. The life of a stadium is about 30 years.
Yeah.
That's what you see. And so now we're at 20 years with Nissan Stadium, which is at the point where you start to say, okay, are we going to maintain and upgrade this stadium, or are we going to start making plans for something new? And I have heard nothing that anybody is interested. I mean, I think there are people who think it'd be a great idea to, you know, you hear talk of, well, let's get a domed stadium so we could potentially host a Super Bowl, a Final Four, those. But I don't think there's any realistic chance that that's going to be happening. And
when's the actual contract up and everything with the stadium?
The lease?
Lease, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's got a pretty long ways to go.
It's got a pretty long, yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I think it's 30 years, isn't it? I think it's another 10 years, yeah.
But the other part of it, the Preds have done an outstanding job of upgrading Bridgestone Arena, the Preds and the city. And that place, you know, every year they've got something on the docket to upgrade it, whether it's lighting, whether it's, a new gift shop, a restaurant or whatever. And to see former players come back who played in the early years, they feel like it's a totally different building.
Well, and Sean Henry has an interesting take on that. He has talked about he wants Bridgestone Arena to be there 50 years from now, and he wants people to bring their kids to the game and say, these are the same seats my grandfather and I sat in, or my dad and I, like. His motivation is clearly, let's keep this thing up. Let's do whatever we have to do with it year after year so that this thing can be around forever, because he wants that tradition. I don't know that Nissan Stadium will be the same ultimately, but as long as Sean Henry's in charge, there certainly won't be that discussion with Bridgestone.
I think the fan base just got tired of mediocrity with the Titans, and that's what led to a lot of guys now being Preds fans. And until they start winning again, I don't think it'll come back until they win consistently. Yeah. End of the day.
7:44. Got more calls coming up. David Beauclair is with us from the Nashville Post. We'll continue next here on The Zone. We'll send it over to Mark first. And word about Wilson County Hyundai. They're always consistently good there.
Exactly. And Payne Bone and his staff always do an outstanding job getting it done at 1310 West Main Street in Lebanon, off exit 236 off Highway 40. Great deals on all remaining 2018 models in stock. But hurry, these deals won't last long and they won't be beat on price. And you'll like buying a car at Wilson County Hyundai. Why? Because they treat customers like family. Wilson County Hyundai has been recognized with the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Ethical Commerce. And Wilson County Hyundai also has an award-winning service department that works on all makes and models and is open on Saturdays. So schedule your appointment and read their customer comments online at WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, be sure as soon as you walk on the lot to ask for your pain discount. And Wilson County Hyundai offers peace of mind, too. Every purchase comes with the best warranty in America, 10 years or 100,000 miles, and Hyundai Assurance and the Wilson County Motors Bone Family Tradition since 1927. Wilson County Hyundai, great people, great deals, fantastic service, and nearby.
The Wake Up Zone on 104.5, The Zone, 7:50 the time. Enjoying our hour with David Beauclair from the Nashville Post, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. Proud to have raised more than $4.7 billion for education. Coming up less than 15 minutes at 8:03, our Zone Holidays of Winning. Tickets for the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl will get you qualified for that grand prize. A bunch of other fun stuff that goes with the Music City Bowl. So that's coming up shortly. You think the Preds can keep things going after winning the last couple, but with so many injuries, they head out west now to play a couple this week?
Man, can they keep this up, man?
Well, it's an interesting couple games when, you know, you guys were talking about Vancouver and their struggles. Vancouver, got off to a good start this season, and then here lately they've lost their last four and 13 or 12 of their last 13. They're 1-10-2 in their last 13, which is not good at all. And then you go to Calgary, which has won its last three and scored 16 goals in those three and is 7-1-1 in its last nine. So you're going from one extreme to the other. Mark, you raised the question last hour, or you said we're going to see UC Saros at some point. I don't know if we are just yet. I mean, the schedule, they haven't played since Monday, so they've had a couple days off. There's a day between Vancouver and Calgary, and then they got a couple days again before they play Ottawa back here. It's a light enough schedule, but it's funny to me how this discussion, Pekka has played 10 straight games, 9 of them starts, and he relieved Saros early in the St. Louis game the day after Thanksgiving, and it's like, oh my God, he's played 10 straight games. Pekka has played as many as 30 in a row in his career. The franchise record is 38 in a row by Thomas Vokoun back in 2002-03. You know, like 10 games in a row when there's been no back-to-backs and everything. Pekka Rinne can do that, And I think especially now when you have the injuries that you do and the lineup is depleted, I think it's important to play Pekka as long as he's playing well, and there's no question he's playing well. Now
how do you gauge it though as an organization? You say, okay, he's aged, but he's still playing well. How do we keep him fresh by the end of the season?
I think
just let it go.
You look at it this way too. The Predators have played more games than virtually every other team in the Western Conference right now. They've had a heavier schedule here lately, so the schedule will lighten up in the latter part of the year. I think you manage him with the back to backs. When Saros starts playing better, great. But for now, you just keep going. Now if you say, I could be wrong about this, and maybe the coaches are saying we're going to give Saros one of these two road games. To me, you play him against Calgary and not Vancouver. It's sort of I haven't seen Peter Laviolette take this approach. This would be my approach and it's what Scotty Bowman used to do with the Red Wings, which is he would play Dominic Hasek against the bad teams league. Make sure you get the 2 points you're supposed to get. And then when you played the good teams, you play your backup goalie. And in those days, it was Chris Osgood. And the thinking was the opponent will get your team's attention enough that those guys are going to play Those guys are going to play well. And even at your best against the best teams, it's a 50-50 proposition anyway. So, you know, I would play Rene at Vancouver, make sure I get my 2 points, and then see how we go from there.
Okay. Let's get in a couple more calls. We finish up the hour here. Kelton in Mount Juliet. What's up, man?
Guys, I lost you earlier. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
No problem. What you got?
All right. So, first off, you know, I got the chance to listen to a couple more calls, you know, since I lost you guys. Everybody's talking about new stadiums, this, new stadiums, that. Let's fill up the one we got first. Let's get a good fan support out there and support the guys for this playoff push. We'll worry about 20 years down the road later on. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the Jacksonville Jaguars, their fans who said it was too hot in Jacksonville 2 months ago, saying it was too hot. Well, come down here and experience this cold. I'm sitting in the nosebleeds on the visiting sideline, and I'm doing it for a reason. I'm bringing a bus full of people. Bud's boys were coming to show out. Everybody come to the main event. Let's support the Titans, man. Let's go.
All right.
Kelton cutting a promo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know.
To recap, one game at a time.
That's right.
I also think we should get Kelton a new phone. We should just raise money for that.
It's a debate between a new bus or a new phone. Yeah,
take up a donation on the bus. Van in the borough. Good morning. You're on the zone.
Good morning, guys. I think it's an interesting discussion about analyzing the difference between how the fans look at the Predators and Titans. I have two thoughts. One, maybe specifically to those teams, and maybe the second's more to the difference in the sport. But I think with the Predators, my perspective is every game, win or lose, they are out there playing excellent hockey. Now that, and it's very rare they do happen where they bomb out.
I was going to say last Thursday against Arizona, but other than that, that was the one real stinker right. So far this year.
But that's very rare, and even when they lose, it's an exciting game. They're skating hard. It's not that way with the Predators. It's like Jekyll and Hyde. It's like there's a bomb every other week. And like you talked about Kansas City, I think people felt, okay, there was our good game, but, you know, we never played two in a row like that, and we didn't.
Thanks, Van. Van, going to have to let you go, man. Thank you.
But Titans played well at home, though.
In general, they've had the Ravens game.
Ravens game notwithstanding, but they've had
the Houston game, the Philadelphia game. They've done all right at home. Mm-hmm. Certainly on Sunday.
David, our time goes fast. Thank you.
It does. All right. Well, everybody get a nap this afternoon. We'll see you tonight.
Sounds good. Mm. From the Nashville Post, David Beauclair, presented by the Tennessee Lottery. Go buy any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have a little fun with those instant games today. All right, more Wake Up Zone coming up, including your chance to win with our Zone Hollandaise of Winning. That's on deck. Hang on.